House will come to order. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 24, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Barbudo, Brettel, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Peasley, Throne, signed representing Brown, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 99, respectfully report back that they recommend it do pass. Ayes, Barbudo, Brettel, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Peasley, Throne, signed representing Brown, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 34, engrossed, respectfully report same back with the House to the House that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Esquivel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, signed representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 57, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Esquivel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, signed representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 58, engrossed, respectfully report same back with the House to the House that it recommends it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Esquivel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, no, Edmonds, signed representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 78, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Esquivel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, signed, representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 65, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation to do pass with amendments. Ayes, Blake, Camel, Davison, Eklund, Hunt, Laux, Muniz, Semlek, Zwanzerdan, signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman.
Messages from the Senate.
Message 180, Mr. Speaker. The bill as below passes Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 8, Department of Workforce Services Consolidation. Ayes 30, no 0, signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 181, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 9, Unemployment Insurance Compliance. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 30, noes 0. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 182. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 10, Game and Fish, Additional Elk Licenses. Ayes 30, noes 0. Signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 183. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 12, Marketable Title Act Conservation Easements. Ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 184. Concurrence requested, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 13, Wind Estate Disclosure. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 30, no 0. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 185, Mr. Speaker. The bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 14, Wrongful Death Representative. Ayes 30, no 0. Signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 186, Mr. Speaker. The bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 29, Uranium Research Center Funds Extension. Ayes 29, noes 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 187, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 36, Paramutual Permits. Ayes 25, noes 5. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 188, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 52, Private Road Actions Appraisal Costs. Ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 189. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 25, Private Transfer Fee Obligations. The bill listed above passed Senate on a third reading in an amended form as indicated by the vote. Ayes 19, noes 11. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Dinah Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 190, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 32, redistricting of the legislature. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Ayes 28, noes 2. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Dinah Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Re-referrals. Re-referrals. Chairman Simlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would request re-referral of Senate File 65 engrossed to Committee Number 2 as it has an appropriation. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
It's been moved for re-referral of Senate File 65 to Committee Number 2 appropriation. Seeing no objection, it is so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader? Did you?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move a consent list consisting of the following bills: Senate File 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 15, 22, 23, 32, 39, and 45.
Anyone want any bill removed from the consent list?
I will.
Reading clerk will read the bills.
Senate File 3, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to the authority of the Secretary of State, being an act by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 4, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to registered agents, commercial agent registration, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 5, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to district boards, county commissioners, removal of appointed board members, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 6, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to Memorial Hospital Districts, staggered terms, county memorial hospitals, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 7, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to election district revisions, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 15, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to the University of Wyoming Advanced Conversion Technologies Task Force Amendments, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 22, introduced by the Judiciary, an act relating to public health and safety, clandestine laboratory operation appeal, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 23, introduced by the Judiciary, an act relating to criminal procedure, death penalty, method of lethal injection, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 32, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to workers' compensation amendments, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 39, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to child support, adjustment of child support for an adult child, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 45, introduced by Senator Geis, an act relating to alcoholic beverages manufacturers, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Flake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly. Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles excused. Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Lebno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Ronish,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate File 3, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate File 4, are there any changes? Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 no, 1 excused. As to Senate File 5, are there any changes? Lubnow, aye to no. Laux, no. Laux, okay. Botten, aye to no. McComey, aye to no. Freeman, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 55 aye, 4 no, 1 excused. As to Senate File 6, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate File 7, are there any changes? Peasley, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 no, 1 excused. As to Senate File 15, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate File 22, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate File 23, are there any changes? Brechtel, aye to no. Connolly, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 2 no, 1 excused. As to Senate File 32, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate File 39, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate File 45, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate Files 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 15, 22, 23, 32, 39, and 45 have passed the House. We're at that order of business. Third reading, regular, final passage. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 74.
Senate File 74, introduced by Senator Hastert, an act relating to severance taxes, severance tax training evaluation, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Illinois.
And Senate File 74, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart. Byrd,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles excused, Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway, Illaway, Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic, Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubnow,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey, McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlek,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne, Vronish,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
Senate File 74, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 74 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 105.
Senate File 105, introduced by the Appropriation Committee, an act relating to school facility projects, school capital construction, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 105, and I would ask for your favorable consideration. Members, I've had distributed to the floor a little spreadsheet that kind of explains the difference in total between this bill and the engrossed version. I have some serious concerns, I believe, about the amount of resources that we're obligating in Senate File 105 in comparison to the potential obligations that we may have next year. As many of you know, we are in the process of conducting a capacity study statewide to address issues in areas of large growth, and this bill, in my opinion, does not leave enough money on the table for us to be able to deal with those issues next year. And that's my primary purpose in bringing this amendment. I did have staff draw up 5 amendments previous to this one that dealt with all of my concerns fundamentally with the bill and chose not to bring those in exchange for this proposal, and this proposal is essentially the governor's recommendation that he forwarded to JAC. The reason why I'm choosing to go this direction is that essentially we get to the same position on the bottom line by reverting back to the governor's rec, and it's a lot easier for everyone to understand. Also, it's been vetted through the process. Many of us have been exposed to that previously, and it's a well-articulated position that's already available. Senate File 105 in its current form is providing approximately 36% more funding for capital construction than the 2011 and 2012 bienniums combined. We have traditionally spent approximately $200 million per year for a total of $400 million in these past few years in the biennium, and this single budget spends and obligates around $600 million. Senate File 105 is approximately $83.6 million more than the introduced version that we worked through the interim. And so what has happened, I believe, is that everyone understands the environment of declining revenue that we're in right now. And we have just so many cookies left in the cookie jar. We know the school foundation account is not going to tip into this Capcom account, at least for the next several years. We had one of the largest bids that was denied yesterday. It would have been $300 million. So there's another lost opportunity. And I just don't see that we're going to have the resources in the Capcom account as we move forward to deal with remediating all of these capacity needs that we're going to have to address next year. The amendment does take a fiscal year approach, similar to what we've done previously. It allows the legislature to evaluate the revenue picture during the interim so we can be in a better position to see what we can afford in the supplemental budget. It reduces the total cost of the bill by approximately $131 million. Combined with $114 million that we're obligating ourselves to spend in the next year, for a total of $245 million. And much of this is achieved merely by reverting to the current practice of achieving capacity projections on a 5-year basis from the point of design, as opposed to projecting 5 years from the date of completion. When the committee chose to go that direction, it added approximately $90 million to the cost of construction, and the end result was that we were building a lot of smaller schools in this state on that list, nearly double the cost of what they would have been if we went with the standard procedure of going 5 years from the date of design. That has huge concerns for me. This policy discussion that they had about this was not well vetted. Anytime you dramatically change the formula to go from 5 years from design to 5 years of completion, you're going to overinflate and overdesign and overbuild a bunch of schools. Now, I'm all for building schools that are large enough, but the issue is we don't have the resources right now to build schools in that way. We believed we didn't have the resources to build schools that way back when we had a boatload of money. Why would we think that it's appropriate to do it as we're running out? I will go ahead and stand for questions. The amendment looks detailed. Essentially what it does is it does take us back to that previous recommendation. and it funds them in such a way that, as I said before, we will build them on a projection of 5 years from the date of design. It also does not obligate us to build those schools that are currently in the queue. Currently in the bill, the schools that are in the queue we have committed that $114 million next year to finish the completion of those schools. Leaves about $90 million on the table, $98 million. If you adopt this amendment, we will return approximately $300 million back to the table for consideration, and I believe that is the fiscally prudent way to proceed. I would stand for questions.
Anyone for the first time? Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, I certainly appreciate the good chairman of education and his process in bringing this together, because this bill has turned into sort of a pig, I guess. And part of that is, you know, the work done on the other side of the Capitol and the additions that were put in there. But the question I think we really need to ask is sort of whether we're being penny wise but pound foolish. And that's when we're looking at these capacity issues and we're looking at what sort of time frame are we looking for in building these 30, sometimes 50-year assets, we really need to ask ourselves, is it worth that investment at this time, or does it make sense to put it off and likely create greater expense down the road? So when you have these, for example, if you're building a new high school for a community, we know that from our experience that high school is going to be there and is going to be relied upon for decades into the future. And so why does it make sense then to do a 5-year lookout from now to see if capacity is going to be filled? You end up, of course, with schools whose common areas are too small to expand. And then in many of our communities, what you'll end up with is a high school where we turn around and as soon as the doors are open, we're forced to start contemplating where the next school is going to go. And I would just say that it is a little bit of a bitter pill to swallow, because this is an expensive, expensive process, but that it makes some sense to do that a little more distant lookout, the 5-year from construction lookout, so that when we design these buildings, when we build these buildings, there is some excess capacity or some at least room for growth there, where we don't have to turn around as soon as we open the doors and start planning our next school for the communities. I mean, that's a far-reaching decision, and it does have deep-reaching implications, but I think it is when we know that these are long-term assets, we know that they're going to meet needs years and years into the future, it's the smarter way to go. So I would urge you to defeat the amendment.
Representative Blickery, first time.
Mr. Chairman and fellow representatives, I can tell you that there are schools, quite a few schools in this state, that have experienced an extreme amount of growth that hasn't been addressed for them in the schools that they need. And finally, this year, some of them were going to be and will be if we defeat this amendment. Now we have this requirement that we have put on those schools that says that they need to meet a 16-to-1 ratio. I can tell you that there are schools that don't even have closets left that they could put students in with teachers. I urge you to defeat this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Ronish.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm speaking for the bill and against this amendment. This amendment guts out so many things. One of the schools that I have in the county where I'm at, in school district number one, they have a middle school. The roof is leaking on. Okay, they don't have enough room. They need to rebuild this school because of the 16-to-1 requirement. And so they need to do some design and some planning. Well, some design and planning money has already been included in this bill. And there's some additional planning of $645,000 that's being taken out, so we're not even going to let them finish the design and the plan. So there's just too many things, and I would encourage you to we need this extra school in Evanston. We're really, really hurting, and I would encourage you to defeat this amendment.
First time, second time, first time, Chairman McComey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I went over to and tried to find out why the bill was changed like it was changed and where it came from. And these were compromises having as a result of some of the discussion that we're having right here. And so now we're going to take it back, and then we'll have a conference committee and all of these other things. So I'm very comfortable with the bill as it is engrossed. So I'm on and against the amendment.
Representative Harshman.
Timing is everything. I'm hustling, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a couple comments for the bill and against the amendment. It was represented that it was the governor's position, and I looked closely, and it's not quite the governor's position. You can see the addition of another school there, but I think the issue about capacity, and if you look at the list that I had emailed the body here a couple nights ago, Campbell 1 has capacity issues. Laramie 1 Elementary has capacity issues. Sheridan 2 has capacity issues. Natrona 1, Sweetwater 1. Many of those have capacity scores that are going to be addressed in this bill. Talking about the capacity study, we don't know. It might come back saying we have extra capacity. I know there's schools where classrooms are being used for teacher meeting rooms, those kind of things. So that'll all be fleshed out. And then this deal about the $114 million we're obligated. If you read on page 21, that's where it's at, line 15-16, members, it says, the following capital construction projects shall be considered. Well, we consider a lot of things. There's really three parts of this bill. You got the folks that are moving forward. You got Natrona County High School. That's going to be delayed for a year. It's hanging out there. And then you got a bunch of folks riding the bubble. And those folks riding the bubble are Albany. It's Laramie High School. It's Uinta Middle School. Wyoming Indian. And the real linchpin project here is here in Laramie County that they think they'll save the state $70 million in the whole sequencing of projects. And then, of course, the Natrona Roosevelt High School in Casper. Those are still hanging out there. But if we adopt this amendment, it's going to set several others back, and you know who they are. And so against the amendment, and I guess one last thing, you know, we're going to leave about $330 million in school funds, $100 million and then $230 in CapCon. That's the third most we've ever left. One other time we left $340. Another time we left $600 and some. So we've left here with $100 million in that, $200, whatever it might be. So I think we're leaving ample resources. We've got three parts of this bill. And I think it's, you know, this deal has gone through School Facilities Commission. It's gone through Select Committee, a couple hearings on that. It's been voted on by the Select Committee. Also, of course, the governor went through it. The JEC spent many, many hours on it. And now finally the Senate, through some hard-fought negotiations, and here we have the bill here. So I just urge you on the third reading amendment to urge caution and defeat the amendment. And move forward with the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment and for the bill, I could say ditto, but going back to our very first speaker from District 56, this could be a bitter pill to swallow. It is a lot of money, but it is a compromise bill that understands that we could be doing and probably will be doing school CapCon differently over the next few years and allows for all of those schools and school districts that have been in the process for the past 5 years who have moved up through the current needs priority index to understand exactly what their position is so that there's money in there for design, there's money in there for purchase of land and for who will be top next year. In all honesty, I think in part because that those need priority index could change in the future. So again, I'd urge you to vote against the amendment and for the bill.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition to the amendment and the support of the bill. One of the things that has been brought up that probably does need some attention from us in looking at the future years, I don't believe that the Supreme Court believed that we had so much money that forever and ever we were obliged to buy and build new schools for everybody as the need arose. We have taken away from the public the opportunity of being a participant and a player in, one, the design, location, and the kind of building that they might want to support. Don't mean to back off from what the court was saying, but rather that maybe some leveling of participation across the state for the building projects of the respective districts would be a consideration that we might have in the future, which would perhaps lower but not eliminate the state's need. So based on that and looking to the future, that's not our choice today, but it is a choice for the future, and thus I support the bill and am opposed to the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Stewart, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of this amendment and feel that it's a good way to address the concerns I brought up 2 days ago, or 3 days ago now, maybe, can't remember. But I wanted to raise the awareness of everyone on the floor here, just the level, the extent of the spending for this Senate File 105, just to ensure that everyone had all the information they needed when they made a decision, a vote on this bill, which is a significant increase in past appropriations. And, of course, making the significant increase in our appropriations for school CAPCON in light of declining revenues. And believe me, when I came here to this session, I was a strong advocate saying that even though our picture was looking dim going forward, we were still in a great position. We can still build some schools. We could still fix some highways. And of course, as we enter these discussions, and I mentioned this the other day, you know, we want to do what's appropriate and what's sustainable. And I would say the amendment in front of you today does provide that good balance for us to not focus so much on just what's happening in your town, your district, but a chance, an opportunity to vote and have an option out there where you can make a decision on what you think is best for the state. Now, I think one thing that's come to light in this last session for me, especially with regard to how we fund large projects in our state, we have found problems when we have to struggle with funding large projects. One of the examples coming forward in the last few years, a water development project up in the northeast corner of our state, how the water development program is ill-equipped to handle these large projects. Excuse me. Very similar is when we're faced with the very large needs of our larger schools in our larger areas of town or the state, when we try to address their needs. The model, the way we fund our schools, we struggle when we have to fund these large projects. This is what we're faced with in this budget session, Mr. Speaker. Again, I think this amendment does provide a good balance and a good choice for us to bring some meaning back to this so we can absolutely address the needs of these schools in the state going forward. I don't think we have to fund them all right now. And, of course, again, one of the questions that we tried to ask and find a meaningful answer going into this, one of the cost savings we're seeing in this amendment addresses the question, are we designing something we may not be able to build in the future in light of the fact that revenues may decline to the extent that construction funds will not be available when that project is ready to bring the shovel out? Again, in answer to one of the other comments brought up, why change that five-year look in this bill at this time? And I would say that the reason we should stay with the way the five-year look from the time of design is that we found that it works, that we found through the JAC process when the numbers came out by changing it to from 5 years from the date of construction, the numbers got skewed. They went too far the other way. And then when we had our another agency within A&I look at it, the numbers swung totally the other way. So I, after that process, I was convinced that the way we're looking at it now works, and that it does provide equity and parity for many of us that have had schools built in the last 5 years, that although there was some disagreement, we have been doing, I think, a great job at building the size schools that we need, and I think that we should stick with that. Also recognizing that projects in my district are also taking a cut. I've made the decision, I think, that this provides balance and is probably the best way for us to proceed as a state. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For your second time, anyone for their second time, part of the sponsor, Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I understand where this is going. We all run our finger down the list and we see how we're affected, and that's how we make our decision. I think that's unfortunate. I think the bottom line to all of this is that we need to treat these accounts with the same respect that we treat the general fund. This is not monopoly money. This is real money. And when it's gone, it's gone. If we adopt this amendment, we will have the opportunity to come back next year and appropriate this money for these projects. It's not going to go anywhere. The difference is if we appropriate it now and we don't have enough to cover the cost of those projects that are in your districts, in those areas of high growth, those of you that live in Casper, those of you that live in Cheyenne, those of you that live in Gillette, this is an important amendment for you. This provides us the ability to build the schools that you're going to need based on the capacity figures that we don't have. So I would urge you to step back, use a little bit of reason and some caution. Let's adopt this amendment. We can work out a good compromise from this position to step back from the edge of the cliff. I would ask for your aye vote.
All those in favor of third reading amendment number one to Senate file 105, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number one to Senate file 105 has failed. Senate file 105, having received the, or having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger. Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery. Goggles excused. Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic. Kasparic. Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen. Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Vronish,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? McKim, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 8 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 105, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 105 has passed the House. Representative Zwanzer.
Can I get a privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker?
You can get one.
Members of the 60th in the South Gallery today, you'll see students from South High School, one of our newest high schools in the state, and their teacher, Ms. Wozniak, one of their government classes. Please make them feel welcome.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Those of you that had the opportunity to have a cookie in the break room today, you should thank the lady to my right up there who brought them down, hand-delivered them, and helped assemble it for all of you. Stand up, Lynn.
Thank you.
We're at that order of business. Consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority, floor leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There is a revised list coming out. The list looks essentially the same, just with the addition of some bills on the bottom. With that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The House is resolved into committee of the whole. Representative Burkhart.
Committee of the Whole will come, please come to order. First bill for our consideration is Senate File 46. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 46, introduced by Senator Martin, an act relating to liens field consumed in a project. This file was sent to the Judiciary Committee number 1, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Barbuto, Brechtel, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Peasley, Throne. Signed, Representative Brechtel, Vice Chair.
Chairman Brown.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 46 do pass, and I turn the explanation of the bill over to the representative from District 56.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 46 is a pretty simple bill, and it builds on the work that we did a couple years ago on the lien statutes and the revisions to those statutes. As part of those revisions, we changed the definitions of materials to clarify what could and could not be leaned on a project. Over the interim, there was a question that came up about whether fuel and related products that were used on a project could be the basis for a lien. And there was some argument back and forth about what the language in the statute meant. And going back and looking, I think it was always the intent to include these things, but we wanted to just make very clear that they were a basis for a lien. They have to be proven just like every other item that can be leaned on a project and all the procedural protections that are involved in that process. But it's a clarifying measure and I think a good step in the right direction, and I urge your eyes vote.
Any other discussion? Question having been called, all those in favor of Representative Brown's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 46 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate File 46 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 29. Representative Chairman Brown.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee...
Chairman... My error. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 29, introduced by Senator Escobar, an act relating to the Wyoming Controlled Substance Act's SPICE definition amended.
Chairman Brown.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 29 do pass, and I turn the explanation of the bill over to the representative from District 24.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the body remembers, last general session, we dealt with SPICE, which is the synthetic chemical, which at the time was legal and permissible in the state of Wyoming, sold over the counter. We had quite a bit of youth in across the state that was using this drug. We had quite a bit of injuries sustained as a result of the use of SPICE, and I believe it was overwhelmingly passed in both chambers and into law. This Senate File 29, is an amendment to the work that was done during the general session. And as you can see from the bill, it adds some very technical technical aspects of the actual compounds, the synthetic compounds that would be outlawed. We heard testimony in committee that in order for the court system to properly process these synthetic chemicals have to be listed one by one. And as a result of last year's legislation, there were some slight changes to those compounds. As a result, those changes made these specific chemicals not illegal. So this amendment tries to close that gap, and I would ask for your favorable consideration. Take any questions. Thank you.
Any other discussion on the bill? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Brown's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, to do so with recommendation that Bill Senate File 29 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? No. Senate File 29 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 41. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 41, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to game and fish regarding wolf management. This file was sent to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Botten, Connolly, Davison, Yagi, McKim, McComey, Petroff, Reeder. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 41 do pass. And, Mr. Chairman, there are no standing committee amendments on the bill. I will talk to you a little bit about the bill. We've all been very familiar with it. It's been worked very hard over the weekend, over the interim. We've reached a point. The changes in the bill, we now have meets and bounds descriptions for the various boundaries in the bill now, instead of this river or that lake, these types of things, a forest, the boundary of the forest or whatever, there are meets and bounds descriptions in this bill. This bill also contains a corridor for the through there that's for 5 months of the year. It's a trophy animal, a trophy corridor, and for the other 7 months, it's a predator corridor for wolves to migrate to Idaho for the genetic conductivity that they're looking for. With this bill was crafted in conjunction with all of the livestock, all of the Farm Bureau. All of the various agricultural organizations, all right, and all got together and agreed on this bill. And I will say, and all of the wildlife organizations, and there is trepidation because in the past, sometimes that the federal government has held out that this is what they'll do and they'll support us in this, and then they have backed away from it. But everybody feels much more confident that this bill is there. And so it has reached that point in its evolution. And I will say one other thing. There has been some questions raised about the federal protection for this bill that our other two neighboring states have received from Congress. Well, until we have this bill crafted and we have this bill in place, our congressional delegation could not craft a bill that said, this is what it looks like, this is what we have, so they had no way to defend or argue the point. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand for questions.
Question having been called, although question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman McComey's recommendation that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 41 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Senate File 41 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 27. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 27, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to public meetings. Excuse me, this file was sent to the Judiciary Committee number 1, which recommended a due pass with amendments. Ayes, Barbudo, Brechtel, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Peasley, Throne, signed representing Brown, Chairman.
Chairman Brown.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 27 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment number 1. I would turn the explanation of both the bill and the Standing Committee Amendment over to the representative from District 11.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the 61st, this bill is a companion bill to the public records bill we reviewed yesterday or the day before. This one deals with cleaning up our open meetings laws to address technology issues, to clarify some language. It's the product of actually a lot of hard work, most of which was not, or some of which was done by our committee, but a lot of which was done by groups coming together with competing interests and working out a solution. I think I will walk through the bill briefly and then do the amendment at the same time. Or maybe I'll just explain the bill. That's easier. You should all have a handout in your box. So the first change that's substantial is in the definition of meeting. And we've added a definition that includes any sort of communication in person, including telephone or other electronic means, excuse me, so that members are able to communicate together. I can tell you from my personal experience with state agencies, this is an important change and clarification. And the amendment actually doesn't add any new language. It rearranges the language on page 2 to say that to create a new definition for an assembly. And then the last few sentences from 18 to 24 on page 2 are simply moved into a new subsection because they do not really meet the they didn't really fit in the definition. So that was a cleanup amendment. And then finally, the substantive part of the Standing Committee Amendment was to, again, turn the penalty provisions from criminal penalties into civil penalties. We don't want to have a finding that our mayors and city council folks are criminals because they get tripped up with the Open Meetings Act or the Public Meetings Act. And there was one other clarification in the Standing Committee Amendment, and I think with that I'd call for the question on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Representative Gingrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move to divide the amendment. Division 1 would be 1 through 31, and Division 2 would be lines 32 through 44, and lines 1 and 2 on the second page.
The amendment appears divisible.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, if I could start with Division 1, I don't have any problem with 1 through 31. All they were doing was moving some sections over to a better section so it read better. So I ask, go ahead and vote on Section 1 and vote aye.
Question having been called on Division 1 of Standing Committee Amendment 1, all those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Division 1 of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has passed the Committee of the Whole. We are on Division 2.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On Division 2, what that's dealing with, and I wanted to make sure we spent a little bit of time on this, because I can remember a lot of blood being spilled on this floor over this provision being added back when we added it. And just to remind those that maybe weren't here then, it used to be that you were in violation of an executive session. So let's say you went into an executive session, and as most of you know, there's a list of items that you can go into an executive session for. Personnel, to discuss personnel. You're going to do a land purchase where the price, if people knew the amount of the price, would affect the deal. Those are the types of things you can go into executive session for. National security, things like that. I'm not sure that comes up very often in a county commissioner meeting. But the problem was occasionally people would go into executive session that they should not have, that was not within the statute. And all that would happen to them, the old statute says, whatever action was taken was voided. And so there really was no penalty for going into an executive session other than you just had to redo the meeting. And a lot of things were said in those executive sessions, which the public was not privy to. So one of our former speakers, he actually brought this bill quite a few years ago, actually now, and changed it from just voiding the action to saying, if you violate this, this is a misdemeanor. And I have to say, at the time, I wasn't real keen on that. I didn't like the idea of turning that into a criminal act. But I have to say, it is amazing the manner in which executive sessions are treated now by local government entities. As most of you know, I represent a county. And it was interesting to watch the demeanor of elected officials and actually boards too, appointed boards, and how they've changed over the years, where violating the executive session may not have been that big of a deal because there really was no penalty other than do-over. Now that they're in the present law, it's a misdemeanor, they are very cognizant of that. They know it's a misdemeanor. They know it's a big, big deal. And they take the time. They call their attorney. It's very rare that you see a local government entity go into executive session without first talking to their attorney, saying, we're going to go into executive session for this purpose. Does this meet the requirements of the statute? Or if they, or they talk amongst themselves. Does this meet it? What I found more interesting, now that I sit through a lot of executive sessions, sometimes executive sessions will start to meander. You went in for one topic, and then someone starts to bring up something different. It used to be they would just launch into that next subject matter. Now it's amazing how many elected officials in those meetings will say, whoa, stop. We're going beyond what we voted to come in to talk about. That's not something that's appropriate for us to talk about here. And it's self-policing, and they're doing an excellent job of it, at least those entities that I've been privy to what they talk about. I think changing it from misdemeanor to civil penalty could take away some of that good strides that we've made in the last few years. I'm not against going to the civil, and I certainly understand the criminal aspect, the arguments against that. I just wanted to make sure we took a moment and at least talked about it a little bit if we wanted to make sure that we're all committed to changing something I thought was working pretty well to changing it to the civil. And so that's why I decided to divide the amendment. I lean toward leaving it the way it is, so I'd urge you to vote against the second division of Standing Committee of One.
Chairman Brown.
Mr. Chairman, on and for Division 2 of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. I've sat through literally hundreds of executive sessions. And the abuses that were discussed by the previous speaker certainly used to exist. How much difference does this? How much sanctity is there to executive sessions anyway? I used to be the attorney for a small town, and we used to go into executive session, and I had to drive 45 miles home after the meeting. By the time I got home, my wife would be discussing what we did in the executive session. So how much good are they anyway? Now, these boards and town councils, these smaller bodies are typically volunteer members. And I just think the existing penalty is too heavy. It's too much. To ask a volunteer to serve on a board or on a town council at their peril, that if they do something wrong in an executive session, they're going to have a criminal record. And I've for a long time have railed about criminalizing this behavior. I admit that there should be a deterrent. And I think this reaches a compromise or a happy medium that's much more in keeping with the office that's taken on and the effort that's being applied to it. And I've always said, if you wanted to criminalize this or potentially criminalize people's behavior on these boards and on town councils, then we ought to start paying them a substantial amount of money. When somebody's paid, there's a big difference between somebody who's compensated and somebody who's a volunteer. And if somebody's compensated, then yeah, if you want to criminalize their activity, if you want to hold them to rigid standards, that's one thing. But when these are volunteers and people volunteer their time, it's just too heavy a penalty. It hangs over their head. It dissuades people from volunteering for these positions, and it inhibits what they're trying to do in the office. And they may, from time to time, make a mistake, but I think the civil penalty is a sufficient incentive for them to try to do the job right. So I just think this hits a happy medium. As I say, I've always been troubled by criminalizing this activity because I don't think criminalizing this activity is commensurate with the fact that they're volunteers and the fact that they're trying to do the best they're doing on their own time and without compensation. So for those reasons, I would ask you to support vote aye in favor of Division 2 Standing Committee Amendment Number 1.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you. Also against the amendment, the division, two other points I think that we could bring out. First of all of the various groups, both from the press associations and the counties and cities and governments, are in favor of this, the civil penalty versus a misdemeanor. So, I mean, this is a consensus group. We all came to this consensus, and so they don't have the concerns that have been expressed on this amendment. Number two, because of the new requirements we have in executive sessions, there are minutes kept, and there's an outline of what is discussed. And so if there's an objection to improper conduct during the executive session, either by recording or by the minutes, it's in there. And so we've left the authority and the ability to people to object to it, to do those, take those actions necessary to prevent any abuses. So I would speak opposed to the amendment, to the division.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Going back to what the good chairman of Judiciary said, my friend over here from Park County is speculating that perhaps his spouse knew what went on in executive session because of electronic surveillance, bugging. Just checking to see if everybody's awake. I would urge, I think for all the reasons that the previous speakers have said, I would urge you to support Division 2 of the Standing Committee Amendment.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess the other question I still had was, the misdemeanor, I understood who would do that. That's the county attorney, or if there's a conflict, they would bring in a special prosecutor to do it. The civil penalty, I'm a little confused as to who would bring that action. Is that going to still be the county attorney? Because it's not normal that a county attorney brings civil actions. So I'm just wondering if there's any mechanism to actually implement what's being tried to be implemented, because I'm not sure if any county attorneys are going to touch that. The other thing I'd just point out is everyone's aware of this law because there's a lot of training that's been going on over the past few years. I mean, I do all the training for my county, and I actually do the counties that border my county. And I actually go, and you meet with the Fair Board. You meet with the sewer and water districts. You meet with, and you have these once-a-year meetings. And I'll tell you, this is the one part of the training that everybody sits up and pays real close attention to. And the reason they pay really close attention is because when you mention this could potentially be a criminal penalty. And so they make sure that they're really in compliance with the law. And I'll just remind you, I can remember when the good former speaker brought this back in, I think it was 05, was when we debated this. Boy, I was against it at the time. But, boy, I've just seen a really good thing happen. And I hate to see us go a little backwards.
Chairman Brown.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't think it will go backwards. And I think that we will see more people volunteer for volunteer positions and feel better about doing their job without such a heavy hammer hanging over their head. Yeah, they might get in trouble. Yeah, there might be a civil penalty involved, but that's different than having the potential of a crime hanging over your head every time you do one of these things. And I just think it overreaches too far. As far as who could bring it, I think anyone could bring it. The county attorney could bring it if there's abuses that come to his attention. I think if a member of the media feels that it's being abused, they could bring it. I think anybody could bring it, and it's finally going to come down to a determination by a court whether the activity occurred or not. And if it did, the court would be the one that would assess the civil penalty.
Representative Throne.
If there's no additional discussion, I'd call for the question on Division 2. And again, just as a reminder, I would urge you to vote aye and to support the Standing Committee Amendment.
We are on Standing Committee Amendment 1, Division 2. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, Division 2, has been adopted. We are back on the bill.
Question.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Representative of Chairman Brown's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 27 do pass, please say aye. All those opposed, no. Senate File 27 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 85. The reader will read the bill.
Senate File 85, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to administrative procedure, general permits. This file was sent to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Byrd, Greer, Kasparic, Lockhart, Muniz, Roscoe, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dave. No, Hunt, signed, Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that bill number, or Senate file number 85 do pass, and I'll turn the explanation over to the good representative from House District, I don't know, Casper, 56, I think it is.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bill before you, Senate File 85, was a topic of our interim discussions in Joint Minerals, and really it sets to answer some questions that were raised through litigation over the interim. The Department of Environmental Quality issues a number of general permits across the state, and these are permits to sort of expedite the process for folks engaged in activities so that they don't have to wait in line and file individual permits for activities. They're essentially a permit for a category of activity with conditions placed upon them. So, for example, you have a septic system, and instead of having to go in for a separate permit for each septic system, you have a general permit that's issued that says how they should be installed and under what conditions they can be installed and those sorts of things. And these are used in a number of different respects with both air quality and water quality across the state. And the litigation arose on with respect to some of the general permits issued by the DEQ with respect to groundwater discharges up in the CBM fields up in the northeast part of the state. And the court issued a decision that basically found that these general permits, because they were of general applicability, they were actually a rule. They weren't really a permit. And so you had to go through a whole rulemaking procedure, and there are a number of confusing aspects that arise out of that decision, one being that the Environmental Quality Council, which is determined for it, which is sort of the fact-finding body, would now have to come in and be the rulemaking body. And it would call into question these, I think, literally thousands of general permits across the state. And so what we did to try to answer this question and to provide some certainty is we have amended the statutes to clarify that a general permit is not a rule. A general permit is a permit. And it makes clear that the DEQ does have authority to issue these permits. There are a couple of committee of the whole amendments that impact not so much the purpose of the bill, but the way it's structured and it's set up, and maybe we can talk about those in the context of the bill and then answer any questions that anybody may have.
Representative Gingrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move committee of the whole amendment number one. And what this does, over on page 2, line 17, where it's defining general permit, it says general permit means a permit issued by the DEQ which authorizes a category or categories of discharges or emissions. And what it does, it adds on there on the with the amendment, as prescribed by regulation adopted by the council, meaning the Environmental Quality Council. And here was the concern that I had. If you flip over to page 3, it says that these general permits, even though they're going to be exempt from rules, they're exempted out, but there's still this section over here on D that says, got to give public notice, and then an aggrieved party could appeal the authorization. And anyway, one of the concerns was, and particularly from my weed and pest district, so they get these general permits, I guess, to spray, and they were worried that an aggrieved party could now say no, and then suddenly they're having to go through a whole process just to do some spraying. That was their main concern. And so what I thought I could do there was just simply say they're going to define better what a general permit is. And I was hoping that, you know, through their rules and regulations, they would define it better to say it does not mean and list some of the things, such as spraying for weeds and things like that. That was the concept. But then on the other hand, Representative Throne has one coming up that might be better. So either one, I don't know.
Discussion on Committee of the Whole Amendment number one. Representative Stubson.
Mr. Chairman, on Committee of the Whole Amendment number one, I'd urge you to vote no so that we can consider. I think that the better fix is coming in the next amendments.
Any other discussion? Question having been called on Committee of the Whole Amendment number one, all those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Committee of the Whole Amendment number one to Senate File 85 has failed. Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move Committee of the Whole Amendment number two to Senate File 85 and would ask for your favorable consideration. And this discussing this amendment will give us an opportunity to consider the bill in a little more depth. What happens now, we have a lot of general permits out there, as the good representative from House District 56 mentioned, that have not been controversial. And so if you're a company engaged in a large construction project where there's a risk of discharge from your construction activities into waters of the state, you have to have a discharge permit. But what you're going to do to prevent that discharge is not going to vary a lot from site to site to site. So the department has engaged in rulemaking. They've created a general permit for large construction projects, and that general permit has gone to public notice. It's been thoroughly vetted by the public. So if you're a construction company and you're ready to go start your project, you notify DEQ that you meet the qualifications to fall under that permit, you get your authorization and you move forward. You don't go back to public comment because that would really be burdensome and create a lot of extra process and frankly would require more DEQ staff time, a lot more DEQ staff time, because if you have public comments, then somebody has to review and respond to the public comments. And for the general permits, a policy decision has been made that that kind of public comment doesn't further any purpose. It just creates more regulatory burdens. And that's a general permit that's been around for a very long time. So, but in the drafting of this bill, that process was changed. And in the bill as you see it on page 3, now those authorizations all will be required to go to public notice. So you'll have rulemaking to create categories of general permits. The DEQ will develop a general permit, which will go to public comment. And then under this bill, every time anybody wants to use that general permit, it's going to have to go back out to public comment. That's a huge change and a huge increase in regulatory burden. So what my amendment does in this key section is propose a compromise, because it may be with this new general permit authority, there might be some general permits that require more scrutiny, the use of which require more scrutiny. So as a compromise, I've proposed that in the course of rulemaking under this new provision we're adopting, DEQ can consider whether the authorizations need to go to public comment. In addition, the proposed amendment deletes the language that's outside the Environmental Quality Act and just puts it inside the Environmental Quality Act in a new subsection E to say that a general permit is not a rule. That's not really a substantive change. That's just a structural change. And finally, the last thing that this amendment does is it clarifies the limited use for general permits. It says that general permits can only be used in air quality and water quality. I think, as all of you know, we have 4 major divisions in the Department of Environmental Quality: air, water, waste, and mining, land quality. These general permits are really only intended to be used for air and water emissions or discharges, and so the amendment clarifies that. And I realize, you know, after a long day, it's a boring discussion to talk about public comment, but if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree this is a boring topic, but I'm having trouble in determining on your amendment on line 21, the council may require public comment for 30 days. What kind of criteria would dictate whether they generally would do so or whether they generally wouldn't do so? And if this is a may, is there a possibility of an inconsistency between people that have problems or issues with this the department, I guess. And the other thing I was confused on when you were talking about the setting up the rules, and you can have a hearing, and you know we'll have a hearing and all of that for setting up the rules. But the rules is a general procedure for any kind of permitting, and what we're talking about here in the engrossed bill, in line 6, we're talking about a specific permit, not a rule. So I guess I need some a primer on that. Thank you.
Representative Throne.
Mr. Chairman, let me explain how I thought this bill was intended to work before I actually read the engrossed version. Everything DEQ does starts with rulemaking. Because, as you know, if you thumb through the Environmental Quality Act, you'll see that there are broad rulemaking rights delegation given to the DEQ because the standards change, the needs change, So you have an Environmental Quality Act of quite a few pages, and then you have chapters and chapters and chapters of rules. So the way this bill, I believe, was intended to work is DEQ has to first go through rulemaking to determine how they're going to do general permits. If they're going to develop general permits for gravel crushers, for example, in air quality, they have to first establish the regulatory framework. Rulemaking goes to public hearing, public notice, public comment, and then the Environmental Quality Council makes a decision on the rules. So go through rulemaking. We've decided we're going to have these categories of general permits. Now, as part of that rulemaking, what DEQ can do under my amendment is say, well, for these stormwater discharge permits that we've had forever, there's no need for those to go to public comment. But if they create a new category of general permit that they haven't had before, they might think, well, there might be neighbors, adjoining landowners, and I think this is where the major consideration would come in. You know, are there other affected parties who could be impacted by the use of a general permit, and therefore you'd want to have some public comment? And we, as a legislative body, we can't discern all those various permutations as we're sitting here. So I think it's better to leave that to DEQ rulemaking. What the bill does, as it's written now, is makes a blanket statement that everything goes to public comment. And right now we have 1,700 stormwater discharge of authorizations out there. So that means every, the next rounds that come in, every construction company that's doing a road project that now just gets a general permit is going to have to get a general permit and go out for public comment. And that just doesn't make sense. So that's why, rather than striking that public comment period or public comment option completely, I proposed a compromise that leaves it to rulemaking.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with my good representative from Johnson County. I'm not so sure this is the way we want to go. We're going from shall be available for public comment to may require public comment. Not so sure if that's the way we want to go on that. I remember talking about this issue 2009, the Ag Committee in Green River. We're having problems with CBM water and things like that. And, general permits are not a one-size-fits-all. I could tell you one size does not fit all. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Throne.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Let me explain. Let's use the septic permit example. Septic permit systems are regulated by DEQ. You have to have some sort of permit for your septic system, whether you're a rancher, a subdivider, whether you have a house on 40 acres out in the country. You have to have a permit. And DEQ currently uses general permits for those, because they're pretty straightforward from place to place under most circumstances. And DEQ has to decide up front if you qualify for that general permit. If you don't, then you go through the individual regular permit process. So if we leave the language as it is in Senate File 85, all of those people getting septic permits will now have to go out for 30 days of public comment. So the bill's one-size-fits-all solution does not work. And that's why we need to let the agency sort through all of this in rulemaking. If we add this public comment requirement, we're creating a huge workload, more burden for small businesses, large businesses, all sorts of businesses who use the general permit process now.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I view this as a friendly amendment. There was a lot of work that went into this thing to handle a massive problem that's coming at us with what the court decision was earlier. And this bill was worked out in a very strenuous way by a lot of people to come up with the right answers for handling these routine permits. And this particular amendment just smooths that out so that you can differentiate between those that are a little more urgent than those that are not. I urge your support of the amendment.
Representative Madden.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one final thing, and I can't write laws like this, but why can't you write here on line 21 something to the effect that where it says the council may require, why don't you write will require public comment if requested by the public or something, so that, you know, I can see this septic tank thing, you know, I guess I don't have a concern about a septic tank that's being built in Laramie County, but I might if it was right in my backyard. And if we pass a blanket rule where you can't have a hearing for septic tanks because it's established by rule that they may not decide to let you have one, I mean, what am I missing here?
Representative Throne.
Mr. Chairman, I guess the way it is now, the way it's operated for, I guess I don't know how long those rules have been in effect, a very long time, there is no public comment. And I don't think there's been a big hue and cry about septic systems or stormwater discharge permits. And again, the Environmental Quality Council rulemaking process will take into consideration a lot of the questions we're asking here. And they are very good at taking public comment, addressing it, and resolving these issues in a more appropriate forum than we can here. And I think the language proposed by the good representative from Johnson County doesn't really change the problem with the bill as it is drafted now.
We are on Committee of the Whole Amendment number one. Number two. Any further discussion? Question having been called on Committee of the Whole Amendment number two to Senate File 85, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Committee of the Whole Amendment number two has passed. We are back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Question on Senate File 85 having been called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Senate File 85 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Quick announcement. In your box, you have this memorandum. We talked a little bit about this, and it would be coming to you. You need to pay your $77 to the House Courtesy Fund. You can see there it's $1.80 a day for each representative. There's a pizza meal, intern fee, basic courtesy charge for flowers, gifts, and then our leadership gifts. There is a typo on here. It says that you need it to turn it in by March 7th. You actually have to scratch that out and put March 6th. Because when you're a day late, we'll be on time. Thank you.
The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 67. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 67, introduced by Senator Perkins, an act relating to real estate brokers and sales agents. This file was sent to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, which recommended it do pass with amendments. Ayes. Blickery, Bird, Yagi, Croker, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dan, No, Illaway, Patton, Roscoe, signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Illaway?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 67 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And the good representative from House District 27 will explain the bill and the amendment.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I'll start with a quick overview on what a BPO is. A broker price opinion is called several different things, a CMA, comparable market analysis or market analysis. It has been a tool that has been provided by realtors for, I know, of 18 years since I've been practicing law. It's been provided to give an estimate on a price range for a parcel of property or an improvement on a piece of property. The reason for this bill is that it had recently come to the attention of that association at Overseas Realtors that this practice is in contravention to the Certified Real Estate Appraisers Board's rules and regulations, and that they may be subject to penalties. This bill was brought to allow this common practice, one that is very valuable to several different professions and businesses in the state of Wyoming, to continue. I must apologize because what I'm going to present to you is a bill that has a substantial committee amendment to it. And I think it's best that I explain the bill by having you hold the engrossed copy in one hand, and I'll go through that with you and try to do so briefly. Also, coming behind me is a committee of the whole amendment by the good representative. Oh, we always call him the good representative, just the representative from House District 56. that will also clarify a few things. And I do apologize for this cleanup, but I think what we've got here is going to work real well. And I'll try to go quickly with this. What we have with the amendment, looking at the engrossed copy, is starting out in the title. We're removing value and replacing the term price. What we get on these BPOs is a realtor examining the property, looking at the type of neighborhood, the improvements, and coming back with a price range that we're able to use in determining what are arm's length transactions. And there are several other purposes that maybe some of the folks in the banking industry can expand upon. Working down through this, again, you'll see on line 10 of page 1, we've substituted price for value. And moving on page 1 down to 12, we just said a real estate broker or sales agent licensed by the state may prepare a broker's price opinion. One of the reasons for this amendment, as you'll see later, is we have defined what BPO is and given it a clear definition. Moving along, on page 2, it has always been and is not a violation of the Certified Real Estate Appraisers Board's rules and regulations for a realtor to prepare a BPO for a listing price. Where this comes into being a problem is when they provide it to attorneys and banks. And so to simplify this bill, the amendment on line 7 on page 2 just says it can be provided to any third party for any purpose permitted by law. Simple. No exception carved out. And so then we move down on page 2 again. We look at it. Every printed or electronic broker's price opinion has to have a disclaimer. And I think this disclaimer is very important. And it is, this is an opinion of price and is not a certified appraisal of the market value of the property. Next, we'll see it's starting on line 22 as we add the definition, which is set out here in the amendment, the Standing Committee amendment, and that is the definition. I've already told that to you. The broker's price opinion means an estimate prepared by a licensee that details a probable selling price of real estate and provides a varying level of detail about the real estate condition, market, and neighborhood, and information about sales of comparable real estate. And I'll just trying to be somewhat brief, is that we use these in the law practice and CPAs to deal with a lot of times very small estates for establishing tax basis documentation of that. We also use them if we have a sale between related parties, a father and son, especially in an ag industry, selling between one another to document a value so that we do not have a gift, or we can document that a gift wasn't there. They're a real useful tool in my profession, and again, I know they're a useful tool in the banking profession. And so with that, I'll be quiet. And I would ask for you to adopt the Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1, and then and answer. I guess I'll answer any questions first.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question. Because it's broker's price opinion, is that just a term of art? Because the definition says prepared by a licensee, so I assume that means a sales agent, associate broker, broker. Is the word broker just a term of art, or should it say, you know, licensee's price opinion? Or I'm just curious. And then I got a ton of emails from another profession that doesn't seem real happy with it. But does these amendments that you're doing, does those address those concerns that that other profession had?
To answer the
Representative
first,
Greer.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. To answer the first question, licensee is a defined term in the statute which deals with brokers. So that in, and give you the site somewhere. To answer your second question is, no, I don't think it addresses all their concerns from that other group.
Representative Gingrey.
My point with the first question is, I looked at the definition of licensee. Licensee is not just broker. It's broker, associate broker, sales agent. What I'm asking is, why are you using the word broker? Doesn't that somehow, like consumer protection-wise, someone might be fooled and think they're really getting a broker's opinion? They're not really getting a broker's opinion. They're getting a sales agent's opinion. That was my concern.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, I understand your concern. And BPO, or broker's price opinion, I would have to say I think you use that as a term of art, and I would agree with that statement.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 2, lines 7 through 12, the amendment deletes the entire section. And in its place instead, it puts in anybody that is permitted by law. I have had a couple of phone calls relating to that, and I can't answer the question, what's permitted by law in this particular instance? Is it just the licensee of the brokerage firm, or is it anybody that comes along?
Representative Greer.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, and just to back up just a little bit on the term licensee, you know, sales agents and so forth all have to work under, by statute, under a broker, and the broker's responsible for them. So I'm not that concerned about that particular issue. With respect to the last question, with the amendments, and what I was looking at with that amendment is the way the bill read originally, it carved out one exception. And the concern I had is by having one exception, if we didn't have all of the exceptions, then we might have been including an unauthorized use. So by saying to a third party as permitted by law, this just means that these broker price opinions, these estimates of price, based upon comparable sales and the condition of the property, can be used by those, any third party that feels comfortable using them, that isn't prohibited to use them by law. It's that simple. I don't think we wanted to go in and list out all the exceptions or all the reasons that we need to have a certified appraisal. If you need a certified appraisal, you need a certified appraisal. These are quick values. I don't want to use the term value. These are quick price ranges on property that we're able to use in my profession to get probates done, small estates done, small deals between related parties. They're inexpensive. They've been done for years with no problem other than what I said when we first started. And one thing that's very important is they're done quickly so we can get things done and wrapped up for folks. Very useful tool.
Representative Patton.
Thank you for your explanation. Appreciate it. The other question that we had while doing the committee was that the original bill actually identified an amendment in the appraisal as opposed to the activity of a real estate agent. And we had the testimony to the effect that the activity of a real estate agent does not include this, and there would be no possibility of enforcing. I presume that the lawyer that drew this actually under page 2, line 21, inserted the new section. Does that put the activity under the Real Estate Commission?
Representative Greer?
Mr. Chairman, the Standing Committee Amendment, which I'm on right now, does not. However, the Committee of the Whole Amendment does do that. It defines preparing a BPO as being real estate activity, which then ties that back to the purview of the commissioner. But that, again, that is the Committee of the Whole Amendment that the representative from House District 56 will explain.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wasn't going to speak to this amendment, but Mr. Chairman, I'd like to divide the amendment. I would like Division 1 to be lines 1 through 16 and lines 22 through line 2 on page 2. And I'd like Division 2 to be lines 18, 19, and 20. Did I cover myself correctly?
Chairman Korberg, could you repeat where you want to divide it?
Yes. Division 1 would be lines 1 through 16 plus lines 21 through page 2 on line 2. So then that would leave Division 2 would be lines 17, 18, 19, and 20.
It appears to be so divisible. Just to clarify for everyone, Division 1 is line 1 through 16, and we are on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, lines 1 through 16, then lines 21 through line 2 on page 2 is Division 1. Division 2 are lines 17, 18, 19, and 20.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let's deal with Division 1 first. I guess to some degree I don't have a lot of heartburn with Division 1. I'm not a big fan that we just pulled broker's opinion, kind of out of another statute without looking at it in more detail. But Division 1 does help the bill, so I'm not terribly opposed to Division 1, and if there are no more questions on it, I would call for the question on Division 1.
Question having been called on Division 1 of Standing Committee Amendment 1 to Senate File 67, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Division 1 to Standing Committee Amendment 1 on Senate File 67 has been adopted. We are now on Division 2 of Standing Committee Amendment 1. Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'd like the body. I'm opposed to Division 2. This is a bill that has really stumbled all the way through the entire process. It has required extensive amendments, and I just don't think that we can even begin to understand the unintended consequences of opening up Romanet 3 to any third party for any purpose permitted by law. I just don't think, without really even having some time to really sit and look at it and talk about it, maybe perhaps even this summer, I'm just going to urge the body to make this not to put this in this particular piece of legislation. So I encourage a no vote on Division 2. Thank you.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, I'm actually fine with the language that was as in the original bill, but I believe that Division 2 helps bring some clarity to it. So I would still encourage you to support and vote for Division 2.
Is there any other discussion on Division 2? Question having been called on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, Division 2 to Senate File 67, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Division 2 of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Okay. Question having been called, all those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, Division 1 and 2 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 67 and ask for your aye vote. And just to step back, you know, this is, of course, one of those turf battle bills that we come into where we hear from both sides that we're doing terrible things. And I think it's worth noting that we are almost doing nothing with this bill other than clarifying practices that have been utilized for probably 50 years. Understand that the framework we've been operating under for decades has been there is nothing in statute whatsoever about BPOs. We go, we call, we ask for BPOs. People come and bring us some estimated prices. We rely on them. We know what we're getting. We know when we need an appraisal. We got to go get an appraisal and use a certified appraiser to do it. That's the way it's always been. And really, this bill does nothing more than permit what has been happening for decades to continue to happen. That's it. Other than it adds two restrictions upon BPOs that haven't existed there before. And to go back, well, why do we need it? It's because the folks in the real estate business have received an opinion that based upon the rules and regulations, what they've always been doing is something that they're not actually allowed to do. And so we're just clarifying that, no, part of a real estate practice is offering BPOs just as we've always done. That's permitted. You can do it just as you've always done. And that's what this bill does. The one exception to that is it now requires a disclaimer, which has never been required before, that says, by the way, all you're getting is a BPO. If you want an appraisal, you need to go use a certified appraisal. And then my committee of the whole amendment, it changes the other aspect, and that is it adds under real estate activity that performing BPOs is a real estate activity. And what that does is it brings it under the purview of the Real Estate Commission. And that, if you look through the complaints you've been receiving in your emails, that really is, it's two parts. One, they can't do value, they only do price, and we fix that through the Standing Committee Amendment. And two is, you're doing something that's not governed by the Real Estate Commission, and this Committee of the Whole Amendment addresses that. And so I'd urge your aye vote. What this does do is it just clarifies that this is all part and parcel of the practice of real estate in the state of Wyoming. The one other thing it does is it gives some real estate agents, you have your insurance policy, and typically your insurance policy only says you're covered for real estate activities. Well, this ensures that, yes, this is a real estate activity that falls under insurance. So if somebody needs to bring a claim sometime based upon a BPO, they have access to those insurance proceeds. So with that, I would ask for your aye vote.
Any further discussion on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1? Question having been called, all those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment has been adopted. Is there any other discussion on the bill? What? Chairman Corbett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This rather simple bill that started over in the other body down the hall last week, as I mentioned earlier in wanting to divide the amendment, as you can tell, a very short bill that got very complicated, very fast, because I believe it was put together in haste. And I actually don't think it's been well thought out. And I think we see that when we see bills come through that need to be amended in the other body to begin with, and then we have an extensive standing committee amendment, committee of the whole amendment, and I'm suspecting that I think in order to perhaps address other issues that I find with the bill, we're going to see maybe even second or third reading amendments. And then somehow you're going to have to put all of this together and just say, well, this simple bill just came about because of rules and regs in the appraiser industry. So let's set the facts straight. It's not a turf battle. A certified appraiser cannot do broker price opinions. They cannot do them. So it's not a turf issue here. And it is true, their rules and regs right now do have some language in them that limit what realtors can do in terms of providing broker price opinions. What I do not understand is every email I've seen from appraisers says, we think they're a good thing, we think realtors should do them. I do not understand why there was no effort made to simply go to the appraisers and say, let's change that exemption in your rule and reg. And I'm telling you, the last time that the appraisers' rules and regs were just gone through and just filed was December of 2011. So even up until 6 months ago, I am not convinced that this could not have been taken care of through rule and reg. But instead, we now have this emergency that's created this piece of legislation that has required constant amending, that we're now putting definitions of broker price opinion that have been, I guess, taken from other statutes. Nobody's really had time to even look at the other definitions in other statutes. And I see this exemption, I went clear back. The last set of rules that I could find for appraisers was as early as 1994. And this exemption's been in there since then. And everybody's been merrily going along doing these all this time with the same exemption and the same rules and regs since 1994, but now we have an emergency. And an emergency that I think was recognized when they went out for notice to change the rules. I just don't understand why this could not have been taken care of and why now all of a sudden we have this piece of legislation. Now let's just talk about putting in the definition of in the Standing Committee Amendment, we've put in that under real estate activity, we have put in that now realtors can do broker price opinions. Now, that will may or may not, I guess, cover omission and errors insurance. But what I still don't think it covers is we're all under the impression now that somehow the Real Estate Commission has control over this activity. But they might have control over it, but they have no authority to do anything, even if someone comes to them and says, we don't like what this realtor is doing in broker price opinions, because if you look in the statutes for realtors and you go clear back to 3328.111, censure of licensee and suspension or revocation of license, the grounds by which the commission can take punitive action against a realtor, it lists a whole list of areas where the commission has the authority to fine or revoke a license or suspend a license. There's nothing in here about broker price opinions. So while it's listed under real estate activity, as near as I can tell, I still don't see that the commission is going to have the authority to enforce any complaint by a consumer that they are now receiving an inaccurate or a bad broker price opinion. So I think that's a major flaw that I think still needs to be addressed if we in fact want to give the commission this authority. I'm not sure why we even want to raise it to the level of statute. I mean, I just think that that has all kinds of unintended consequences, not for the appraisers, but for the realtors and for the third parties who have been using these successfully for a lot of years. Because once you raise it to that level, then I think there is, there, you raise the consumer awareness, not that you're doing anything wrong, but that somehow it carries a lot of weight. A broker's price opinion carries a lot of weight. I still don't think the bill is ready for prime time. I applaud the efforts of trying to make it a better bill as it came over from the body down the floor. I still don't see any reason why this is an emergency. I don't see why this either. We have two options. Well, we actually have three. We can pass this bill. We can defeat the bill and let these bodies, these two industries get together and talk about what they need to do to fix it. Or we can allow it perhaps to be an interim topic. So I just really don't see the need, the rush, the haste to make this right. You've been operating under this exemption since 1994. Nothing has happened. I don't know why there was no attempt to work with the appraisers to fix the rules so we wouldn't be here trying to codify this in law and make sure that we don't have any unintended consequences of doing this piece of legislation in this manner. So I'm going to encourage the body to defeat this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Nicholas.
Speaking in favor of the bill, I think what we heard is much to do about nothing. It's a simple bill. In my practice, I've been using this mechanism for a long time. Almost every lawyer I know uses this mechanism. All it does is codify it and make it a reasonable thing so that the real estate people are comfortable with doing what they've already been doing, and so I would move that you support the bill.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, I just to address just a couple items is with the Committee of the Whole amendment, by making a BPO a real estate activity, it does fall under the purview of the commissioner. Okay. And second, you know, just because this came in a hurry and has some amendments doesn't mean that it's bad. Just because this has been done for I don't know how many years, I can just speak to 18 years in the past, and it's now coming to light that this causes a huge concern, shouldn't be a matter. The fact of the matter is this is a standard practice that's been going on that we realize now probably should have been a law a long time ago, and it's been brought before both of these bodies to be codified so that the realtors can do these with the safety of knowing that they're not doing anything wrong, and it's also just an added benefit that it will ensure that it's covered under their E&O. And I would just encourage you to vote for this. We've got this cleaned up with these amendments. It's ready to go. Thank you.
Any further discussion on the bill? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Illaway's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate file 67 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Senate file 67 has passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is Senate file 19. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate file 19 introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to predator control. This file was sent to Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, which recommend that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Cameron, Davison, Eklund, Hunt, Laux, Mooney, Semlek, Zwanitzer, Dan, signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman.
Chairman Semlek.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate file number 19 do pass. I'll turn the explanation over the bill to our good representative from House District 34.
Representative Campbell.
This is a bill for an act relating to predator control, establishing voting rights for predator management district meetings, amending time limits for issuing predator animal control fee refunds, repealing archaic provisions, and providing for an effective date. The clarification that is in this bill is on page 3, line 11. The annual meeting of each predator management district shall be held within the first 2 weeks of December. Any person having paid predator fees in the district within the preceding 12 months shall be entitled to one vote at the annual meeting. Predator fees paid in the name of a business entity may be represented by one representative of the entity paying the fees, provided that the representative is authorized by the entity to vote on behalf of the entity and has provided proof of such written authorization. Proof of payment of predator fees within the district shall only be through a verified copy of a brand inspection certificate which clearly shows that the fees have been paid and the date upon which the fees were paid. No person paying fees within the district shall be entitled to more than one vote at the annual meeting, and no proxies shall be allowed. The other clarification within this bill is on line 14 of page 4, and that is in regard to if a refund is requested, the board shall pay the refund within 120 days after the end of the calendar year in which the fee was paid. If there are any questions.
Is question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Semilek's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 19 pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Senate File 19 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 12, Representative Lockhart, Chairman Lockhart. I'm sorry. Reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 12, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to nuclear energy task force extension. This file was sent to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Byrd, Greer, Hunt, Kasparic, Lockhart, Muniz, Roscoe, Stubson. No, Zwanzer, Dave, sign representing Lockhart, Chairman. The file was further sent to Appropriation Committee Number 2, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobel, Harshman, Pedersen, Wallace, no, Stewart. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman.
Representative Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 12 do pass and return this explanation over to the esteemed representative from Laramie.
Representative Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What this bill does is just extend, there was a task force this last year. This bill just extends it another year. If you'll notice under Section 1, Romanet A, they can appoint the same people that were on this task force, or if they choose, they can add new ones to it as well. On page 2, Romanet B, the task force shall study the following as they relate to the nuclear energy production, and it pretty well defines the issues that they'll identify during this task force. And then if you'll notice on page 3, Romanet C, they will give a report back to Minerals Business Economic Development Committee no later than November 1st of 2012. And then the task force expires on December 31st, 2012. And that's basically it. There are members in the body that were on this task force. They identified a number of issues that kind of overwhelmed the committee, and they felt they needed to move on forward with this. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for any questions.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have one comment. I think what we heard in committee was, as this task force looked into nuclear energy, that it was like standing in front of a fire hose. So I was hoping maybe that if the committee was to go forward, they could actually look at some specific tasks, something
that they could actually come back and maybe sink their teeth into. As you look through everything, and they just look at the potential of this or the possibility of that, and I would sure like to look at something that would maybe come back that we could actually put something into statute or what it actually takes to get our first foot on the ground and go forward from there. So that's just a comment, not for or against the bill either way. Thank you.
Representative Miller.
I'd be happy to try to answer that question as a member of the task force. There were a couple of really interesting issues. One was possibly pre-approving a possible site in Wyoming, whether it was the water issues that may be available, some of the air quality issues, the water quality, the land quality, the remoteness, the available worker supply, things like that were addressed. That actually needs to be looked at more. The two nuclear power plants that were just approved in Georgia were the result of many, many years of pre-planning by the state and also by that utility that did that. They actually spent well over $1 billion moving forward and then finally submitted their application to the NRC, and it was fast-tracked because they had all done all this pre-work. I'm not suggesting we spend that amount of money, but picking an area and doing some environmental studies to see if the area is suitable should cost a small, probably six-figure amount of money to look at, and that would speed up the process in the future. Another thing that was talked about but was decided needed to be further study was we suggested looking into one of the real issues with nuclear power is the long-term storage of the nuclear waste. Would Wyoming want to consider handling that if whatever facility was generating the waste was also located in Wyoming? So those are two examples of some specific items.
Representative Moniz.
I have nothing to add, Mr. Chairman, unless somebody else has further questions.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, to do so with the recommendation that Senate file number 12 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Senate file 12 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file 14. The reader will please read the bill.
Senate file 14 introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to business development, nuclear and hybrid energy system related projects. This file was sent to committee number 9, Minerals, Business and Economic Development, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Byrd, Greer, Hunt, Kasparic, Lockhart, Moniz, Roscoe, Stubbs, Wanitzer, Dave. Signed, representing Lockhart, Chairman. The file was further sent to the committee number 2, Appropriations, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace. Signed, representing Rosie Berger, Chairman.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 14 do pass, and I'll ask the good representative from Laramie to nuke this issue.
Representative Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill moves us forward into the nuclear hybrid energy systems. If you'll look under Section 1, it directs the Business Council, in consultation with the Governor, contact the United States Department of Energy and other entities regarding the possibility of locating a hybrid within the state. If you go to page 2, beginning on line 2, in addition, the Wyoming Business Council shall investigate the feasibility of locating hybrid energy system facilities that include the use of other forms of energy resources in Wyoming, including, without limitation, coal to gasification, natural gas, oil to wind, or other renewable resources. Then if you'll notice down on line 17, not later than November 1st, 2012, the Business Council will file a report basically on what they've learned with the consultation with everybody involved. There's an appropriation of $250,000 on page 3, line 4. And then if you'll notice down on page 3, line 17, $50,000 of that will go to the University of Wyoming for support from the College of Engineering and Applied Sciences, the College of Business, and the School of Energy Resources in coordination with the State Geological Survey. An additional $50,000 may be used to contract with outside entities. We did get some feedback that the Department of Energy could acquire $618,000 as well as $300,000 in private funds to leverage the state's investment of $250,000. You do have a handout on your desk somewhere that kind of shows you what some nuclear hybrids might be. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for questions.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate file number 14 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate file 14 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file 36. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate file 36, introduced by the Travel Committee. An act relating to state parks and cultural resources, acquisition of the LX Bar Ranch. This file was sent to committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Botten, Connolly, Davison, McKim, McComey, Petroff, Reeder. No, Yegi. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman. The file was further sent to committee number 2, Appropriations, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobel, Harshman, Patterson, Stewart, Wallace. Signed, Representing Rosie Berger, Chairman.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 36 do pass, and I will turn the explanation of the bill over to the good gentleman from House District 53.
Representative Blickery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I would like to point out to everyone that there is a fiscal note on this bill. It's $280,000. That's the money it would take to not restore, but just to stop any further deterioration of these buildings for future generations. Now, many of you saw the pictures that I sent you that I took of this ranch. The LX Bar Ranch is in the far northwest corner of Campbell County. In fact, it is just on the other side of the Powder River in the small portion of the Powder River that is in Campbell County. Most people actually think it's in Sheridan County. This ranch was built in 1910 and 11 by later Governor and Senator Kendrick, who was one of the most prominent ranchers in the history of, I would say, the United States, but certainly of Wyoming and Montana. It's a one-of-a-kind place. When you're there, you can look in every direction, and you can't see anything that looks any different than it did more than 100 years ago. It's the only one that I know of like it. All these buildings are made from sandstone that was quarried right behind where the buildings are in this portion of Wyoming. We do not have at this point any state park that celebrates ranching, which is the first and foremost industry that this state had. And so this is an opportunity for us to save a place that is remarkable and unlike any other. Just a couple days ago, we approved having the Wyoming State Day of the Cowboy. And here's an opportunity to celebrate the place where they worked. I urge you to move this forward.
Chairman Sumlick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've seen pictures of this place, and in fact, it is a beautiful place. And I just urge some caution moving forward with this donation to the state park system. I can tell you that the Kendrick family has already been honored with a cultural site in Sheridan, and I hadn't planned on speaking on this bill, so I didn't look up the cost to the state to maintain that facility, but it is it is very large compared to the number of people that go through it. So we already have an honorarium, I guess you'd say, to the Kendrick family, and truly they did a lot of great things. But I'm a little bit cautious about, for those of you who have been in the body for a number of years, this is sort of a flashback from a project over the hill that every year it was just going to be $250,000 or $300,000, and I had... brought a proposal for a site in Crook County that might be considered a state park, and I was stomped on so quick because of this bad experience they've had with funding this project over the hill, and it also truly is a great site. So those things seem to kind of go on, and the cost and the maintenance, and this is a nice site. It is remote and not going to be accessible to a lot of the traveling public like some of the other sites are. We do have a like facility in the county that I come from, and that site is owned really by the Office of State Lands and Investment, and it's managed by a foundation, and they do fundraisers, and they do everything they can to support that project, and they struggle, but they've made a commitment to do it that way instead of general fund appropriation. So I think the appropriate way to do this is find some other mechanism to preserve this wonderful site, but not do it in the way that's proposed in this bill.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't want anybody to think that I'm influenced by my seatmate in this particular account. He's pretty passionate about it. I'd like to have just one additional thought to it. For years, because it is remote, it was accessible only by a Piper Cub. Not a Super Cub, a Piper Cub. And the gentleman that did that for a number of years, along with Manville Kendrick, the son that ultimately had him, was a fighter pilot in the U.S. Marines that will be 90 years old, August 31 of this year, and I had the pleasure of having dinner with him two Saturdays ago. What a delightful memory, and I'm sure that he is equally as thrilled. I know that I'm not supposed to use names, but what a wonderful gentleman that is honored and respected for having done what he has done in a historic place in Wyoming. Thank you.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rising on and against the bill. You know, my dad always taught me when somebody gives you a free puppy, you should be very careful because that puppy is not free. And I think that's the same situation with these sorts of gifts. I think it's a great cultural resource that ought to find a creative way to fund it. I could even probably support it if we'd pull it out of the Wildlife Trust Fund. You know, you can put a conservation easement on it. Everybody would love that, I'm sure. We had the same instance happen in my community it's been 60 years ago when we had Fort Laramie, and it was a state historic site. Best thing we ever did was give that to the federal government. That thing is a black hole. So I think we just need to be very careful about this.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also would urge some caution here. Serving on Parks and Recreation, there are a lot of places around the state that we have looked at. We had a sheep shearing shed at Walcott Junction that we wanted to get for $3 million. We moved that ahead, but we ran out of money, and the list goes on, and as the last speaker just said, getting the property is the easy part. The mothballing or upkeep, as the good representative up front said, is going to cost us $280,000. I've got it broken down. We're going to restore the poultry barn for $12,000, processing barn $15,000, the outhouse for $200,000. I mean, it just goes on. And I think these things are not free, and this is not the first one. There's another one coming before us tomorrow that somebody wants us to give to us and take care of. And I just think we need to be a little cautious with getting these, they are neat places and part of our heritage, but I don't think Parks and Recreation can take care of what they've got and continuing to get more. I think we just need to be real cautious. Thank you.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the bill for a lot of the same reasons that have been mentioned. And I guess we just, you know, if you just look at the backlog of major maintenance that State Parks brings in the budget bill every year, all we're going to be doing is adding to that. And we just saw that they needed a bunch of new boat docks that they did not have the funding to cover. So, I mean, I just don't know why we would want to add another state park holding that's going to require additional maintenance and upkeep. So on and against the bill. Thank you.
Representative Walls.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to speak in strong support of this acquisition. This isn't unique to Wyoming. This is unique to the world. This is a stone, incredibly well-crafted piece of architecture dating from 1910 that has never had electric power, has never had running water, is in essentially the pristine condition that it was in 1910. It needs to be stabilized. That's all this bill does. The land and the property is being donated. All we're doing is saying that we, as the people of Wyoming, are going to preserve something that is truly, truly unique in the world and really relevant to our history and our culture. And what a treasure that we can save for our children and our grandchildren to be able to see how our forefathers came to this country and created such an industry that still sustains us today and I hope will for generations to come. This is an opportunity not to be missed.
Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, wish to speak in favor of this acquisition. The cost, $280,000, is to stabilize the buildings on that property. And the main building does need some shoring up. But this is not money that is only going to be used to stabilize it and get it ready for the next years of just waiting until there is some resource to interpret and to restore. We were told during the interim that this amount of money is needed just for minimum stabilization. So our question to the State Department of Cultural Resources was, all right, you come back next year, how much are you going to need? And we were told nothing. This is a 20-year, this amount of money would mothball this particular site for 20 years. It is not going to be a repeated back and forth. And so I hope that we will approve this acquisition.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But at this point, I just need to say ditto. On the TRW committee, we've heard about this property for the past several years, and honestly, it's caused us all a lot of thought and concern. I mean, it's a lot of money, but as one of the previous speakers mentioned, this is a historically unique piece of property, not only to Wyoming or the nation, but the world. It's a stone ranch. It is. And we have the opportunity right now for $250,000 to mothball it. And we'll mothball it for 20 to 30 years. There will be no major maintenance costs on a yearly basis. So I strongly urge you to support this.
Majority Floor Leader Lubnow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You can all guess what I'm going to say, but I'll say it anyway. This is an opportunity to preserve our history. You've got to think about who these people were and what this ranch was. The first 50 years of our statehood was ruled by cattle barons, and this was one of the cattle barons. And it is the only standing place like that available anywhere in the world.
This was the headquarters of a 210,000-acre ranch that spanned all of northeastern Wyoming, Sheridan County, and southern Montana. You look at it in comparison to what we spend on other things, $1.6 billion in health care, $1.6 billion in education, $1 billion in highways. The cost of $280,000 to preserve this precise piece of history, not for us, but for generations after us, is a pittance compared to the piece of history we would lose if we didn't prepare it. And shame on us for not wanting to do that. And plus, brothers and sisters, it is in one of those scenic portions of Campbell County that we hide from you all so that you don't get to see them. But they are there, and if you go to these portions of Campbell County, you will be truly awe-inspired by the beauty that we've hidden from you for all of these years.
Chairman Teeters.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm compelled by the passionate speech, but I would like to know exactly how much it's going to cost if we do decide to restore this facility. I understand it's going to cost $200,000 to mothball it, $280,000 to mothball it. That doesn't tell me, if we were to run into a whole bunch of money and it was available, how much is it going to cost?
Chairman McComey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this particular site, and sometimes I'm not real nice when I refer to certain things as hysterical sites instead of historical sites, but this particular site, this gentleman was one of the fathers of Wyoming. And is so passionate, an adjoining landowner has said he will donate access to the property. He will put up $10,000. The passion with which the people in this community feel about this thing, and other people in the state that came to testify for it, was, to my mind, striking. Yes, this is $250,000. But sooner or later, this place will deteriorate to the point that it will no longer have any significance other than the cabins that we see as we travel around in the mountains that are now decaying and falling apart. Snow loads, wind, ripping them apart. So I ask you to please support this bill.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My wife and my son both brought a free puppy home. And basically what happens is it costs me a lot of money. But when those puppies grew up and they grew old and they left me, they left a great big hole in my heart. And what I would like to remind people is this is a unique opportunity to preserve our history. Yes, it will be expensive, but it will also, if we do not take advantage of it, will be lost, just like the dogs that I talked about.
Representative Petrov.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to answer the good chairman of education's question, the site access estimate is $460,000, and the estimate for complete restoration is, not including the site access or the mothballing, is $1.7 million. But again, we're talking about $280,000 in order to preserve it. And that gives us the opportunity down the road to do many, many things. To find nonprofit organizations who are willing to take it over. Or to do fundraising, community fundraising. But the testimony that we received in committee is that if we don't accept this property, it could just completely fall into disrepair, and then we would lose that opportunity forever.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wasn't going to speak to this issue, but a couple years ago, one of our local printing companies did a calendar of historic buildings from Cheyenne. There were only 2 out of the 12 pictures in that 12-month calendar that are still standing. In the capital city, we have lost incredible structures. It makes the old-timers that I represent cry every time they think about it. This was one of our founders with a great history. We can't lose this ranching heritage, and we do hide some pretty spots in my home county in the northeastern part of the state. Thank you.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I do love state parks, but I'm really torn on this, so I'm going to wait to hear some more discussion. But could I get some more background on why we're acquiring it? Who's donating us basically the property? And have we done the soil survey or the remediation to make sure we're not going to have, you know, some contaminant in the ground that DEQ is going to have to come? I mean, once we acquire this property, it's ours to manage. And so, you know, do we need a better road once the state takes it over? Do we have to build a better road to the property? I've heard it's way out in the middle of nowhere. Are we going to have, you know, restrooms out there? Are they going to be ADA compliant? And I guess my other question is this on the list of historic places, or the Federal Register, anything like that? And I remember my first year down here when we went to South Pass, and we got this thing called the Carissa Mine. And I love the Carissa Mine. It's beautiful, but every year we keep putting more and more. I think we put over $600,000 in this thing now for fire suppression and everything. Same with the territorial prison. We acquired that. We were going to find a nonprofit foundation to raise it. 6 years later, we're giving it another $200,000 a biennium or so to keep it going. And so if I hadn't been here so long with that institutional knowledge of having heard that we're just going to acquire it and it's going to, you know, everything will be fine, I'm starting to get skeptical after being here 8 years, because that certainly hasn't been my experience and the other two or three state historic sites we've got. So if you could answer those questions, that would be great.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not going to answer all those questions, but I did ask some of those questions in appropriations last night, because I am very familiar with the ranch. It's stunning, and it's all the comments that have made, it's worthy of us acquiring it. But nothing comes for free. There are always strings attached. I served on a commission that takes care of these parks and things for many years at the same time that we acquired a ranch in northeastern Wyoming that the good chairman of Ag spoke about. And it had, unbeknownst to us, a lot of problems because we had not gone through the assessment process, looking at all of the conditions that were just asked about. So that was the question last evening. And they have gone through all of those processes, because they did have another circumstance since the Northeastern Ranch was acquired, and now they are certain that they don't have those problems. I do have a concern about the access, but I think that right now they're just trying to hold on to this as an asset, and then in the future build a parking lot and look at a walking bridge and some other things like that that would give access to the citizens of Wyoming and folks from around the world that would like to look at this. And that's what I would say about it. That seriously, I think the division has got a lot of new rules and criteria in place to address the issues that have just been brought up.
Representative Blickery. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief. Just one other thought is I've been working on several restorations on the western part of the state that have been incorporated into their local museums. And there are a lot of foreign tourists that come specifically to go to these restored old places that have the old sewing machines, the old cream separators and interpretive stuff with it. Anyway, I think that there's a move to incorporate these kind of branches on a tour of Wyoming, and I think it would be good for our tourist industry. Thank you.
Chairman Brown.
Mr. Chairman, I don't want to belabor what's been said, but this is our heritage. If Wyoming isn't about this ranch, Wyoming isn't about anything. The man that put this ranch together is, as it was mentioned, 210,000 acres in some of the most beautiful country in the world, as far as I'm concerned. And this man was one of my heroes, handicapped by only one thing. He was a Democrat. He trailed cattle from Texas as a teenager. He was absolutely the classic Wyoming character.
He put this ranch together. He went on to become the governor of Wyoming. Then he went to the U.S. Senate and served in the U.S. Senate from 1917 until 1933, and was prominently mentioned to be vice president in the next election when he went home to his mansion Trails Inn in Sheridan and died. When he went to Washington, D.C. as a U.S. senator, he spoke in favor of granting women the right to vote. He was involved in the push to investigate the Teapot Dome scandal in 1922. In 1928, he introduced a bill into Congress that created Grand Teton National Park, and he's in the Cowboy Hall of Fame. He is absolutely what our state is about. And this ranch epitomizes everything that he did and all of his accomplishments. And so for $280,000, we can put a roof on this. I heard the testimony. They said with $280,000, we can stabilize this thing for 20 to 30 years and hold it until such a time as we have the resources to do it right. And until we do it right, the best thing we can do is keep people out of there and not let them in there. And it's such a unique place, and one of my favorite buildings there is the Solar Chicken House. Very well thought out for its day and age. So in the strongest terms I can, I would urge you to pass this and make a small investment to stabilize and preserve something that we simply can't replace.
Representative Biagi.
Just a couple points. It is about 20 miles from Arvada and 10 miles from the Montana border, so it's clear up there. And the total price for the restoration that we've been given is $2,212,660.
Representative Blickery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow representatives, $2,212,660 and 28 cents if we were to choose to do all of this, but we aren't choosing to do all of this. We're choosing to save it, so that in the future we can find ways to have private entities help with it. That's what we're doing. Senator Kendrick was a remarkable individual. He served in this building we're in. He moved here as a boy with no money whatsoever and built ranches that totaled more than 210,000 acres in Wyoming and Montana. While he was doing it, one reason why he was so successful was that he worked with the homesteaders that bordered him. And not only did he work with them, but he gave them jobs so that they could have successful homesteads and not lose their land. That was a reason why he was also so popular. Now, in that corner, we have a painting that celebrates the homesteaders, the people who populated our territory and then our early state, to make it so that we could be here today. And in that corner, we celebrate the cattlemen, the very place we're talking about. There is nothing else like this. It is made with stones that are 16 inches thick, with inside stones that are another 12 or 8 to 12 inches, depending on which building they're in, by some of the finest stonemasons who probably ever lived. And now, for a mere $280,000, we can make it so that this place is here for our children, our grandchildren, and their children. And I hope that you will vote to do that. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman McComey's recommendation, or motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with recommendation that Senate File 36 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Senate File 36 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 55. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 55, introduced by Senator Bebout, an act relating to state trust lands, purchase of federal lands. This file was sent to Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Camel, Davison, Eklund, Hunt, Laux, Mooney, Semlek, Swanitzer, Dan, Sign, Representative Semlek, Chairman.
Chairman Semlek.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File Number 55 do pass. And I will turn the explanation of the bill over to the good representative from House District 43.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 55 is a pretty easy piece of legislation. It basically just says that when the Board of Land Commissioners requests and that they can use the money that we get back from the sale state trust lands to the federal government to be used to purchase federal lands from the government to turn into state lands. This, of course, has to be consistent with the duties and obligations owed to the beneficiaries of state trust land sales as provided in our Constitution. But it's a good tool, especially with what we're doing up in the Grand Teton area right now. I guess I should say that national park in the northwest part of the state, some of those lands that if the state Board of Land Commissioners decides to, they can invest that money and purchase the federal lands to take them back in the state for other productive uses. And I'd be happy to answer any questions on that.
Any discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Semelik's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 55 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Senate File 55 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Motion carries.
Reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. Senate File 46, recommended do pass. Senate File 29, recommended do pass. Senate File 41, recommended do pass. Senate File 27, amended. Recommended do pass. Senate File 85. And further amended. Recommended do pass. Senate File 67. Amended. And further amended. Recommended do pass Senate File 19. Recommended do pass Senate File 12. Recommended do pass Senate File 14. Recommended do pass Senate File 36. Recommended do pass Senate File 55. Recommended do pass. Signed, Representative Burkhart, Chairman.
Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The Committee of the Whole report is adopted. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 82, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Dillaway, Yegi, Croker, Patton, Roscoe, Stubson, no, Byrd, Zwanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee Number 7, corporations, elects, and political subdivisions, to whom is referred Senate File 83. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Byrd, Illaway, Yagi, Patton, Stubson, Swanitzer, Dan. No, Croker, Roscoe. The bill was further referred. No, that was it.
Messages from the Senate.
Message 191, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 121, abandoned land fund, mine land funds. This bill passed the Senate, ayes 29, noes 1. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
We're at that order of business concurrence requests. To concur with Senate amendments to House bills, the first message for our consideration is message 190 on House Bill 32. Chairman Illay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence. Message 190 on House Bill 32, redistricting the legislature. You have in your inbox a copy of the concurrence request. On the first page, it looks like we changed something, but really this is cleanup language from your county clerks. When we were finished with our committee meeting on January 19th, we sent to each county clerk how it was laid out in their counties by House District and by Senate District. And we asked them to take a look at each district to make sure that each census block was correct, to make sure that we had not split census blocks, to make sure that we hadn't inadvertently done something that would cause problems. So the first page that you see is your county clerk's cleanup of those census blocks. On the second page, you'll also notice that occurs also on the top of the page. In the middle of the page, of page 2, and you'll notice that in the middle of the page, and you'll see that Senate District 6, and at the end of that it talks about that Senator Meyer made a change. This also is a cleanup. And this is in the Torrington area. The county clerk for Goshen County has been ill for several months, and she has not had a chance to absolutely take a look at how Goshen County was redistricted. The acting county clerk did get together, I believe, I'm led to understand, with the county clerk. They sat down and did take a look, and this is a cleanup requested by the county clerk between districts 2 and 5. It changed about 200 to 230 citizens. But it is at the request of the county clerk. It makes a little change around the town of Torrington, but other than that, there are no specific changes on the redistricting bill. There are no substantial amendments on the map. So I would urge concurrence with message 190. Thank you.
We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 32. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly. Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
no.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles excused, Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
no.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
no.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden, McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
no.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlich,
no.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Braunisch,
no.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 8 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 32. The next message for our consideration is message 191 on House Bill 121. Chairman Berger.
Mr. Chairman, I move message number 191, and I ask you not to concur. And I would just want to highlight for you that, first off, the amendment that we've received back is about as big as the bill that we had going over. And on page 6, it's substantial changes to the bill. It is basically putting $14,200,000 into the University of Wyoming Performing Arts, and then 15.8 into highway funding. And then section 4 is basically taking excess revenue based on Craig consensus revenue information as of January 13, 2012, if it's over and above that, that would dump into $14.2 million for highway funds and $15.8 for the University of Wyoming School of Engineering. If there are no questions, I would call for the question and ask you to vote no.
We are voting on the motion to concur to Senate amendments to House Bill 121. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Flickrey.
No.
Bonner.
No.
Botten.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Childers.
No.
Connolly, Kraft,
no.
Davison,
no.
Edmonds,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Esquivel,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles excused, Greer,
no.
Green,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
no.
Illaway,
no.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
No.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
No.
Lockhart. Lockhart. Laux.
No.
Lubno.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
McComey.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Petrov.
No.
Korberg.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Roscoe.
No.
Roscoe. Simlek.
No.
Stewart.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
No.
Braunisch.
No.
Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker.
No.
Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? McComey, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote. Harshman, no to aye. Brown, no to aye. Are there any other changes? Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 4 aye, 55 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 121. Conference Committee for House Bill 121, Berger Chair, Representatives Wallace and Teeters. Did I mark it? I wrote it down. About that order of business, reading and signing of enrolled acts. The reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
House Enrolled Act number 1, being original House Bill number 8, an act relating to the administration of government, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 1, being original House Bill 8. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act number 2, being original House Bill number 12, an act relating to real property, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 2, being original House Bill 12. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act number 3, being original House Bill 10, an act relating to game and fish, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 3, being original House Bill number 10. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act number 4, being original House Bill number 14, an act relating to civil procedure, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 4, being original House Bill 14. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act number 5, being original House Bill 29, an act relating to abandoned mine land funds, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 5, being original House Bill 29. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act number 6, being original House Bill 36, an act relating to parimutuel events, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About sign Enrolled Act number 6, being original House Bill 36. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act number 7, being original House Bill number 52, an act relating to the establishment of private roads, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 7, being original House Bill 52. I have so signed. Committee announcements. While we're waiting, your committee number 12 rules will meet upon adjournment today, Thursday, in room 302 to consider Senate File 38, Revisor's Bill. Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow, Friday, March 2nd at 8 o'clock a.m. to continue work on Senate File 81, Engrossed Medicaid Fraud Recovery.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9 will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in room H18 to consider the two Senate files, Senate File 75, Business Ready Community Program Planning, and Joint Resolution 2, Riverton Uranium Mill Tailings Remedial Action. One more time.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, will meet today, 15 minutes after adjournment. We will hear Senate File 68, time limits for veteran and dependent tuition and fees, and we will have a discussion about interim topics. And, Mr. Chairman, may I have privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just like to make note that my hometown was successful today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
She wouldn't have known that unless I told her. Any other committee announcements? Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet Friday upon noon recess in H-10 for consideration of the following bill, Senate File 90, School Finance, Senate File 94, BOCES, court order placement costs.
Any other committee announcements before I go to regular announcements? Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, I know you haven't heard this before. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet Friday morning, March the 2nd at 8 a.m. in room H-11. Consider Senate File 77 and Senate File 95. Thank you.
Chairman McComey? Okay.
Thank you, Mr.
Davidson.
Chairman. Your committee number 6, Travel, meets tomorrow, Friday, March 2nd at 7:30 a.m. in room H-10. And we'll consider bills Senate File 79, Wildlife Trust Challenge Account Extension, Senate File 89, Pioneer Hunting Licenses, Senate File 43, State Parks Acquisition of Lands, Senate File 71, Aquatic Invasive Species.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Appropriations Committee, too, will meet immediately upon adjournment to hear re-referraled bill Senate File 65, and that is Applied Agricultural Research Funding Program. And then for tomorrow morning, we will meet beginning at 7:30 a.m. in room 204. Senate File 26, District Court Judge Increase. Senate File 2, the Appropriation for the Legislature. Senate File 59, Public Employee Retirement Plan Benefit Increases. Senate File 87, State Employee Compensation Commission Membership, and Senate File 107, Public Works Contracts. If there were to be time and I had a referred bill, I would do it. But otherwise, Mr. Chairman or Mr. Speaker, I will be in anticipation of some more referred bills, and we will try to take those at noon adjournment tomorrow.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet 10 minutes after noon recess on Friday, March 2nd, in room H-17, where we will hear our last bill, Senate File 66, Medical Assistance Hospice Care.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to remind everyone about the Leap into Leadership dinner tonight. Everyone is invited. We'll feed you if you show up. We have an interesting speaker, Linda Clarisio, CEO of Envision Inc., which is a digital advertising company, and we hope to see all of you there. Thank you.
What's for dinner?
Mr. Speaker, I hope it's not the same dinner many of us had last night at Little America, but the event is at Little America. Thank you.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Quick privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you. Committee 99 will be meeting down at the Shadows at, I believe, 5 o'clock, so hope you can make it.
All right. Representatives Blake and Barbuto for a special celebration.
Somebody's 45th birthday today. Please help join singing happy birthday to Representative Greer.
Announcements. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You've got a general file tomorrow consisting of 13 bills, and some of them are big ones. There's 20 bills still in committee that we'll have to hear either tomorrow or Monday if they come out. They all have to be heard by Monday in the afternoon. As a result, we'll come in a little early and try to get on the road a little early, depending on the verbosity index. With that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn until Friday, March 2nd, 2012 at 9:30 a.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House stand adjourned until Friday, March 2nd, 2012, 9:30.